This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them.
Football coaches are not doctors, and some of us might think that that we are, but there's there's a reason why those advisors and are able to make the decisions from the information that is provided. I know that there's a lot of things that are being said, when it comes to financial, and if contributions need to be made, well then I'll sign up to make one. But we definitely want this game to be played here in Tallahassee with two teams that have an open date and open opportunity.
Dr. Tom Osborne was offended by that statement, but nevertheless, we move on. And that's what we all should be doing, is moving on. Everybody has had a chance to state their case. We get it. Everybody's chapped. Wish the game was played. I'm kind of tired of the he said, she said. It's like, hey, I still contend. I think both sides did everything right on their protocol. We just didn't find a solution over the weekend. And that's unfortunate for all parties. So that's where we are, Wes.
So you're saying there's a chance. Okay, here is Ira Schofield, our friend from WarChant.com, joining us live from Tallahassee this morning. Oh, Ira, make the soap opera go away, please. Can we get some resolution to this? And give me a kick time on December 12th, please.
Exactly. I think that's got to be coming soon. That would probably be the only thing that can really resolve it. Meanwhile, if I'm Virginia, who's playing Florida State this Saturday, or if I'm Pitt, who's supposed to be playing Clemson, I'm happy if those two teams keep talking about each other and not worrying about us.
All right, I think that is exactly the point of all of this. You know, everybody's had a chance to have their say. Both sides are chapped. I get it. Fans are chapped. Everybody's ripping everybody on social media and message boards and all that nonsense. Not that it matters. But, you know, the smart, cooler heads will prevail here. The smart people will get in a room and figure this thing out. But the coaches have said their piece, and they better start concentrating on what's ahead. And for Florida State, you got a bunch of young folks. They need the reps. I mean, they're not ducking anybody. Clemson's looking to play a game they hadn't played in 3 weeks. They're going to get a really red-hot Pitt team. So I think your point is spot on. The more you start spending time worrying about a game that never took place 5 days ago, you got a game coming up this weekend with a holiday stuck in between where you better be dialed in. And for a team like Clemson, you got a ton to play for still in front of you. And for Florida State, Mike Norvell's got to get some answers between now and the end of the season with which young guys he can sit there and say, you know what, these guys have potential.
Yeah, and I think the weird thing about this whole situation, I was talking to somebody at Florida State last night, is that these schools generally get along really well. The administrations from both schools get along really well. There haven't been problems during the games when they played, even if the game's been lopsided. So it's kind of an odd thing, but you understand how it kind of evolved. You know, Clemson was frustrated. They wanted to play the football game. They coming off a loss. Trevor Lawrence is finally getting to play again. And so they really wanted to play, and they're very disappointed and hot. Florida State, meanwhile, is getting clowned on the internet and everywhere else about ducking the game. So they want to get their side out there. And then Clemson feels like, or Dabo Swinney at least, feels like that Florida State was taking shots at him. So he wants to go back. I think Florida State's ready to move on for sure. When Mike Norvell speaks to the media here in a couple hours, I don't think he'll address it at all. But, the feelings are still simmering. And until we find out for a fact that that game is going to be played on December 12th, which I expect it will be, then I think it's all going to kind of simmer until that point.
All right, Ira, I want to move to what Florida State has in front of them, even if it's Clemson in 3 weeks at this point. I'm going to guess Jordan Travis will be back at quarterback on Saturday night when they play Virginia. But clearly what they did in Raleigh the other day was establish a youth movement, really on both sides of the ball where they could. Offensive line, four of the five starters were either freshmen or sophomores. I think three of the running backs that played were either sophomores or freshmen. We know Chubba Purdy's now, who started the games out for the year. Tate Rodemaker's a freshman. I mean, they're going to go young here, for better or for worse. And I don't blame Mike Norvell at this juncture. He knows what he's probably got in older guys. He needs to find out what he has, at least from the front end, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of coaches go in from day one and want to look to the youth. And I respect Mike Norvell for not trying to do that. He did try to bring along the juniors and seniors and try to get the most out of them. We've seen several of them leave or opt out. Just recently, Corey Durden, one of their defensive linemen, opted out for the rest of the season. Looks like he'll be transferring. And there's been several of those. And you've seen some other upperclassmen see their playing time diminished. I think they gave them every opportunity. It hasn't worked out. So now they're moving, looking to the future. To your point, though, you know, Jordan Travis's health, even if he's available, is always questionable. He's had a hard time staying healthy for even a complete game, let alone consecutive games. And if he can't play at any point, you're going back to freshman Tate Rodemaker, who's only attempted 20-something passes, maybe 20 or 20-something passes, including three interceptions. So I think going forward the rest of this season, you're going to see a lot of Florida State's running game. And I think fans are going to have to look for improvement out of that defense.
Ira, given all the opt-outs and the injuries, and who knows with COVID, because, I mean, the way Florida State's kind of handled that, it's been kind of, you know, fake left, go right. Do you have a handle on the actual numbers that Florida State has as far as scholarship players late November?
It's what they've – there's a couple times they've gone into games with around 60 or a little less than 60. Wow. I think they still have about – they still have close to 70 on the team. But that's going to be the interesting thing with Florida State and a lot of these schools going forward, you know, that you're only allowed to bring in 25 new players every year. And so, you know, Florida State's going to have more spots than that available going into this next recruiting class and bringing in transfers. So I think you're going to see a lot of that with a lot of schools because some of these kids that opted out are not going to return back to their prior school.
Well, and the other part about it is the NCAA's yet to step in and grant everybody a bonus, boys. Come on now, let's be honest. We might get a redo. You never know what the boys in Indianapolis are going to come up with to solve the world's problems, right, Pac? We could have that one exempt year where you can sign as many as you want, the old Bear Bryant style, right?
Well, here's the other issue, and Ira, you can touch base with this. Every athletic department is going to face a serious financial crunch. Florida State's already found it, right? I mean, they've already had 20% cuts and the furloughs, and again, not to pile on, and that's not exclusive to the folks in Tallahassee. Everybody's going to face that in the spring and the summer and into next year, and you know, while we hopefully get a vaccine and from a health perspective, we can kind of move forward with all that stuff, I do think there's going to be a delayed financial hit on everybody coming from the back. And that's got to be something, if you're an athletic director and a school president, you better really start taking a note. And that's one of the other reasons about this Clemson-Florida State game. Hey, Florida State wants that game to be played. I mean, that you know, when you go down that roster and say, hey, what's the one game everybody would circle? Hey, when Clemson comes to town, we can't wait to go see it. And granted, I know you only got 20% could be there, but from a concession standpoint, revenue, that was the one game you absolutely wanted to play.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I think Florida State people in the administration were so bothered by some of the comments that they were ducking the game because that's the game that was going to, again, there's nothing that can make up the losses that Florida State's got financially from this season, just like any school. But that was a big piece of what they could do. From talking to some people around the program, it might have been up to $2 million in revenue for that game alone. Besides what they lost in the expenses on that day for not playing a game. Now, everybody is sympathetic with, you know, Clemson's situation, spending all that money to travel. They don't want to spend that money again. But Florida State, to your point, they're in deep peril financially like a lot of schools. And if they can reschedule that game, that would mean a lot to their athletic department.
Yeah, no question.
All right, Ira. Let me switch gears here real quick in our last couple minutes. Leonard Hamilton joined us last week. He was excited about his team, and I know they were supposed to play Gardner-Webb on Friday. I'm going to guess that game's been wiped from the books because Gardner-Webb, of course, had their game Wednesday at Duke canceled. So what's the status of Florida State's opener, and what do you expect, at least from the preseason practice sessions you've heard about?
Yeah, it's not official yet, as you said, but the expectations are that Gardner Webb game is probably not going to happen. So Florida State likely will open next week with their second, I guess, non-conference game. The expectations inside that program are super high. And I think a lot of people, you look at that NBA draft where FSU had Patrick Williams, Devin Vassell, both go as lottery picks. Trent Forrest goes as a free agent to free agent pick to the Jazz. They've lost a lot from last year's team, a team that finished the year number four in the country and won the ACC. But they're very excited about this team. And really, a lot of it starts with return of MJ Walker, who made a big jump last year in that supporting cast. But you can't not talk about Scotty Barnes, the five-star freshman that they've signed. The feeling right now is that he might be the best player in Leonard Hamilton's tenure. They think he's going to be if everything goes according to plan, he's likely only going to be here 1 year. And he's a guy, he's not one of those volume scorers like a lot of one-and-dones who's going to come in like Anthony Edwards or someone who's just going to score a ton of points. But he does so many things defensively as a passer, as a team guy, as a charismatic guy. They're super excited. So I'm disappointed if that game gets postponed or canceled because I think everybody just wants to see Scotty Barnes and what this Florida State team looks like.
All right, we're completely off the beaten path here a little bit. I know there's always an interest for Florida State baseball, and the softball program's been out of sight. But the women's soccer program just won the ACC title, and that's 7 of the last 10, 2 of the last 3 years. North Carolina's always had an incredible women's soccer program. For a Florida State fan base, and you obviously have a great pulse and handle on this, the excitement level, what's been getting done on women's soccer at Florida State? I know it's a football world and all that. I get all that. But women's soccer is really starting to build, and I hate to use that dynasty word because you guys have seen that in football and in other sports. But where would you put women's soccer right now in the pantheon of Florida State sports?
You know, soccer is always, you know, it's not a sport that's been intrinsic to the Florida State experience. They started the program 25 years ago. So if you went to school before 25 years ago, you didn't even know Florida State didn't have a soccer program. But it's really been amazing what Mark Kerkorian has done in these last two decades. To your point, they not only got into that sport, into that arena, but have really just taken it by storm, won a couple of national championships. They've become the perennial power in the ACC. I think everybody, the soccer community, it cares as much about that team in Tallahassee as any sport on campus. I mean, they flood when, you know, right now, obviously the crowds are limited, but when they're not, it's a tough place to get a seat in that stadium. And Florida State fans, you know, the ones that appreciate soccer, I'm not going to tell you every Florida State fan is all about the soccer team, but they all respect it. And the ones that are into it, just adore it and adore Mark Kerkorian. And there was talk a year or two ago that he was being pursued by the U.S. women's national team, and there was concerns that he might go. And a lot of people were really worried about it because he's just done a tremendous job, and that program has had a ton of success.
Well, I'll say this. Dana Castellanos a year ago and just another incredible team this year. It's amazing to watch. Ira, thanks as always. Appreciate the time. Stay safe, and look forward to wrapping up the soap opera with some confirmed kick times on December 12th, right?
I think we're all in agreement on that.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, guys.
Appreciate it. Irish Schofield, of course, who joins us from warchant.com. Don't forget it's Tuesday night on ACC Network. You get the college football playoff rankings released over on ESPN, but on ACC at 8 o'clock, In Play is back. Kelsey Riggs and E.J. Manuel, the first college football playoff rankings and the reaction there. Former Seminole great Myron Roll joins the show. And is Clemson now a soccer school? We're going to investigate that with Mike Noonan coming up bottom of the hour as well. In Play tonight on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we bounce back to you here on this Tuesday morning, more conference cuts. South Bend, Indiana, Central New York. We go to Charlottesville, more from Bronco. Oh, Fuente, Satterfield. And, oh, where's Coach Narduzzi? We got to have some Coach Narduzzi, don't we? Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN.
Rolling right along.
Mike Noonan the men's soccer coach at Clemson, ACC champs, coming up next. And I just heard your promo for In Play about, is Clemson a soccer school? Can I answer that question right now and just save everybody a lot of time tonight? The answer is no, it's not a soccer school. No. Never has been. No disrespect. Clemson is a golf school. I've been saying this, God, for how long? Decades. Larry Penley, it's a golf school. Always has been. Always has been. So, no, it's not a soccer school. Football's been good. Soccer's been good. A lot of sports have been good. But it's a golf school. Ask Doc Redman, Lucas Glover, Dillard Pruitt, who, by the way, just retired from the PGA Tour last week. It was his last go-around, the PGA Tour.
Jonathan Bird.
Jonathan Bird. That list Jonathan goes on Bird. And on. Yeah. I mean, it's a golf school.
Sure.
Just look it up. Yeah. Last four decades.
Kind of done with it? You good there?
I'm done. I'm just trying to answer the question for In Play in case they spend too much time tonight in their 30-minute show, their cavalcade, at 8 o'clock tonight about a soccer school. No, no, no. Soccer's excellent. Back to I Am Ibrahim days.
Myron Obed Arari.
All, again, multiple national championships. I get it. It's hey.
Donald Eagle Buike.
All of them. I used to, hey, as a freshman and a sophomore at Clemson, I'd go watch the soccer guys all the time, and they were great. Awesome. But it's a golf school.
Yeah.
Golf school. It's like Georgia Tech.
All right.
Golf school.
On to conference cuts. Brian Kelly and Notre Dame faced North Carolina's high-powered offense this weekend. He discussed the challenges of slowing down the Tar Heels.
This is like any other offense. It's rhythm, right? And the rhythm comes from balance. If you have balance within your offense, you have rhythm. If you don't have balance, then you lack the rhythm necessary. So it's our job to get them and get Sam off rhythm. And you do that by keeping the down and distance in your favor. So it's very, very important for us to do that at the line of scrimmage. And then eliminate the big plays. So if I was to center around two things without giving away too much of a game plan, it's you've got to be really good at the line of scrimmage and being effective at stopping base run plays. And then you can't give up big chunk plays. Now, they're going to get some, but you can't have them throwing the ball over your head left and right. If you can do those two things. Virginia was able to stop the run, but – they had no chance in the back end. They were giving up, I think, in that game, I want to say Brown had over 200 yards receiving against Virginia. You just can't have those kinds of games.
100% right. Brian Kelly knows what he's talking about. Balance, rhythm, get him off his spot, line of scrimmage, can't give up chunk plays. Amen. Now you got to go do it.
I'm really kind of missing the virtual office presser with Brian.
No, that's the best backdrop. That's the cleanest backdrop in the ACC is Notre Dame. When they just go
the chair with the graphic behind him.
When he's looking up a touchdown Jesus. When he's answering questions, looking up a touchdown Jesus.
Kind of missing that.
No,
I like that. Maybe we'll get that when we get to postseason play.
I like that one better.
All right. Syracuse was shut out Friday night at Louisville. Not a good night for the offense. Dino Babers talks about what it's going to take for his group to succeed.
You know, you're always looking to be green and growing, not red and rotten. So we're going to always look to adapt and change. But when you look around college football, you know, you look at what Oregon's doing, and their offensive coordinator came from, I believe, Mississippi State, who came from Penn State, who Sports Illustrated article stated that he copied everything that we did from Eastern Illinois University in 2012. You look at what Tulsa's been able to do running the exact same offense. I think young Briles is at Arkansas, and they're shaking up the SEC for the very first time, not including the other son-in-law of Mr. Briles being at Ole Miss as the offensive coordinator and the job that they've been doing. When you look around, this offense is still around the country, and it's still doing fantastic things. I think there is a point. There comes a point when you do have to adapt and improvise based off of your situation in your conference. So I think you're absolutely right on that. And I think that like any good teacher, okay, and a teacher and a coach is the same thing, is that you need to go back and you need to study your game plan and make sure that you're doing everything that is not only cutting edge, but is giving your students the best opportunity to be successful.
I miss talking to Dino Babers on this show. I got to be honest with you, because if he were on right now, I would ask him to break that first line down for me. Wes, did you write that one down from the land of orange about red and green? Did you get all that?
Oh, it's green and growing. You want to be green and growing, not red and rotten. That's I've heard that one before, and it's pretty true. You've got to be able to sustain yourself. Your product always has to be looking for ways to improve, even when you're not successful on the scoreboard. So green and growing, not red and rotten, because when you become red and rotten, you start down the hill as a program.
Is that a local Cartersville, Georgia? Did you hear that a lot around your neck of the woods down there in Georgia?
No, that's I heard it first from Dino, but it's actually pretty accurate. I mean, it's a pretty good synopsis of what you want your program to be. You always want your program to grow. You don't ever want it to become stagnant and complacent.
Well, that would make sense. Points. Yeah, I mean, all that makes sense.
Yeah.
You like that shirt, didn't you? Dino's got it going on that front. I'm cool with all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, I got one upstairs that he sent that I wear every time Syracuse wins a game. I've worn it once this year. So we got to improve in that department, all right? Got to get better in that department. He'd be the first one to tell us if he were on the show. We got to win more than one. It's been a rough ride in New York State now. And I know you got that game this week, right?
You're heading to Syracuse, right? Wolfpack on Saturday. Yes.
All right, so you won't
Roddy Jones and I will be at the Dome on Saturday at noon.
All right, so you won't be stuck at home with Miss Vicky taking care of you left and right between commercial breaks. So you're going to have to be on the road in the Dome. We'll get a full report from you on Mondays when I'm gathered, right?
Responsible. And if you're lucky, I won't have a gash on my chin.
Last time you rolled up there, you went face first going down a hill. So I expect you have your A game Saturday when you're up there. All right. I don't want you coming back.
I was right up there by the, with stitches. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to grow a beard.
I was right
like
up there at
there.
The Hall of Languages right there by the Macri Center on the Syracuse campus.
You were trying to be Justin Fuente trying to grow a beard because you got cuts and scrapes all over you. So you need to come back clean cut like Mike Norvell would look. Shaved, buttoned up, professional broadcaster, all that stuff. So get your act together, Wes.
All right, let's go back to conference cuts. Scott Satterfield next. He weighs in on the fluidity of the schedule because this weekend Louisville is headed to BC, which was supposed to be 2 weeks, but is now this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. You know, it's that game was – we've changed the schedule, three times last week, I think. And, you know, from playing on Friday night Boston College to playing Wake Forest on Saturday to now playing Boston College on a Saturday – and Wake gets kicked all the way back to December 19th. So it's certainly not ideal to have a three-week layoff. I don't really fully understand, you know, how and why we got to this point. But obviously I had no control of that. And, you know, so it is what it is. You know, we'll make the most of it. I know, you know, this week we're focused on Boston College and playing these guys.
How about that? Scott Satterfield's got to get out of bed some days and go, wait a minute. Is it BC this week?
Wait, what?
Who are we playing again? I mean, just listen to what he just said. Our schedule got flip-flopped three times last week. What day is it? He's got to feel like a rock star. You know, hey, Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, yeah, it's good to be here. All right. I mean, where are we? Right. What day of the week is it?
All right. Let me remind you, he was involved in the original shuffle, which was a week ago Monday, right?
Right.
Then there was the Tuesday cancellation of Duke and Wake Forest. Ultimately a cancellation that affected Wake Forest. So that also caught Louisville on the backside. And now all of a sudden they're going back to Boston College.
Again, it's COVID football, man. You just hope you get a game.
Oh, my God.
Just hope we get a game.
That's it. All right. Doesn't seem like a coincidence. Pitt's offense is much improved with Kenny Pickett back in the lineup. But Pat Narduzzi said yesterday He wanted to make the point clear to you for the last time, if not the first time, Kenny Pickett is a good football player.
You really asked that question?
Sure.
Well, first of all, when you got Kenny Pickett back, you know, that makes a big difference. When you got your starting quarterback, guys have a lot of confidence in him, and, you know, we got to be ready when you don't have him. You know, when you got a quarterback that's got as many reps, you know, whether it's spring ball 2 years ago, because I really don't count spring ball this year, you know, that makes all the difference in the world. That guy pulls the trigger. He can make plays with his feet. He's a leader. He leads our offense.
Amen to that. And DJ Turner just got another pass against the Hokies, and he'll be with us coming
really
up.
Really ask that question.
But he's right. I mean,
really ask that
what's the difference, Coach, and you guys getting back to it? Well, this guy Pickett's a pretty good player. He might have made a little difference. We said this yesterday. You know, the reason Virginia's playing better, Armstrong is now back. NC State getting comfortable with, you know, their situation. I mean, when you've got stability at quarterback, you can make some things happen on the football field. And when you don't have it, I don't care how talented you are, man, you're running around with your head cut off. So Pitt's playing good football. And like I said, Florida State and Clemson keep barking at each other. They better pay attention to Virginia and Pitt coming up this week on the schedule, because both of those teams are playing well.
And we've got a triple header on ACC Network for you. Starts Saturday at noon following the huddle. We'll go to the Dome in Central New York for the Orange and the Wolfpack. And then ACC football presented by Dr. Pepper comes your way from Alumni Stadium, Louisville, and Boston College. And then ACC primetime football presented by GEICO right here on ACCN features Virginia and Florida State from the Doak in Tallahassee. And when we come back, Packer and Durham features Clemson. Championship soccer coach Mike Noonan will join us after the Tigers win another piece of hardware at the ACC. We'll talk to Coach Noonan when Packer and Durham continues. Midway point on a Tuesday.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We have in this championship distribution, gives it right back to Clemson, and Sage scores for the Tigers. Six assists on the season for Barber, looking for seven. He's got it, and so does Brighton. The captain comes through for Clemson. The Clemson Tigers win the ACC championship, avenging last year's loss in the final.
Another one versus two matchup. No, I'm not talking about seeds in the league. I'm talking about national teams. Number one against number two for the men and women in ACC soccer. That's how great this league is. And the head coach of the men's program at Clemson, Mike Noonan, joins us fresh off another ACC title. Coach, first of all, I always appreciate the time and congratulations. Given what everybody has been through during this pandemic, and I know last time we talked to you, you were talking about all the international guys going to get back. This one really, really had to be sweet.
No, it was special. And, you know, the experience that we had this year is unique. Nobody will deny that. But I think that the team handled it extremely well, and it wound up in a championship. And, you know, it's not necessarily how you start, it's how you finish. And we finished really well on Sunday.
Mike, Kamarni Smith obviously was the MVP of the tournament. Fabulous run, not only in that event, but really one of your outstanding leaders throughout this fall campaign. Just beyond his exploits, what has he meant as much as a leader in anything else, I guess?
Well, Kamarni's a fun kid, you know, and he plays that way. He plays with a smile on his face. You know, he's in his fourth year. He's gotten better and better every single year. And he's, you know, he just wants to play football. He wants to play soccer every day he gets there. And he's just a great personality and someone that, you know, lights up a locker room, lights up a room when he gets in it, and lights up the score sheet this year for sure and last.
Coach, how much did the game last year against Virginia in the ACC title game help you in terms of the mental approach And hey, you got the lead. It's 1-0 at the half. Pitt scores right out of the gate. Now it's 1-1. Yeah, they're really talented. But how much playing in that game a year ago helped you on Sunday?
That's a great question. That's a great question, because I think that was the difference in the game, to be honest with you. Pitt is a developing team, and Jay's done such a fantastic job with the program. But the experience that they had, it would be similar to the experience that we had last year. It just, when you get into that game, depending on your season, there's so much that goes into it in terms of emotion, in terms of your preparation. And I thought that, you know, our ability to have been there with so many players from the year before certainly helped us this year.
Interesting, too, because the way this has all been structured, and you talked about the uniqueness of this fall campaign, and we've talked to several coaches who have won ACC championships or ACC events, and now all of a sudden there's this reload for the spring. Can you kind of speak to what that will be like, at least right now, for you and your squad? I mean, it feels weird, though, to think that, okay, now all of a sudden – you're going to try and reset for something that occurs after the holidays?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, all the players who are in our program are used to playing from August until June. And they take July off. And then they get to college and they play for, you know, real games through the fall and in five friendlies in the spring. But this year, it's the same season. It's just the games are going to count in the spring. And it's better for player welfare. It's better for their health. It's better for safety. I know everything that went around this season was all about safety. And I really got to credit our president, Dan Radakovich, our athletic director, all the participants at every school. But here at Clemson, you know, we were safe. We felt safe. But there was always a sense of optimism that we were going to be able to play. And, you know, I know there's been a lot in the news over the last couple days, but there is no question at Clemson that the athlete's safety has been paramount in everything we've done. And we're happy the ACC was able to conduct the championship that they did and that we wound up as rightful winners.
Coach, it's one of the things that we've actually talked about a lot on this show, and I do the same thing on the afternoon radio show, is I'm not exactly sure, because everybody's stressed out. Let's be honest. I don't care what you do for a living. Everybody's stressed. This has pushed everybody to the limit. And when we as fans turn on the television to watch, whether it be a soccer match, women's tennis match, a football game, I don't care what it is, you're looking to be entertained. And I'm not exactly sure that the common everyday fan understands the unbelievable effort it has taken for student athletes and coaches and the medical staff and, like you said, presidents, ADs, to figure out a way just to have a game, to have a match, much less a season or a championship. And so when you get all of that, it falls into place, and then you can claim a title, you just got to look back at that and go, my goodness, you know what? We'll never win a title ever like this one, ever. I mean, I don't care what you do the rest of your life, because this one has been unlike anything else. There is no manual for a pandemic. We found that out this week with Florida State and Clemson in football, where everybody did the right things, and yet we still didn't even get a game, for crying out loud. So, you know, you'll look back at this one and go, hey, you know, we've done a lot of cool things here and we've won titles, but that one in 2020 will be really, really unique and special.
No question. And like every title you win is special and unique in its own way. But yes, the pandemic will make this one a little bit different. And, you know, you're right. Stress is what we live with every single day. And, you know, the players have lived with it since June. Changes in schedule, changes in, you know, you don't know where COVID came. It gets one player and then there's contact tracing. You don't know where it's going to go. Every day we walked into our facility and we weren't sure. We planned practice the day before, but we wouldn't put it on paper till we got to the facility in the morning because we didn't know what was going to happen that day.
Yeah.
So it's been a crazy time. But like I said, my staff, assistant coach Camilo Rodriguez, our director of ops, Rob Thompson, and my associate head coach, Phil Jones, were phenomenal throughout the entire season, keeping the players engaged, doing things to build cohesion where you can't really do the things you normally do to build cohesion. So I've got to give everybody around our program, the team around our program, and particularly our medical staff and our trainer, Raz Razieski, who did a phenomenal job keeping the guys. He was Dr. Doom and Gloom, but he kept us healthy.
Raz, another legend, by the way. We talk about legends at Clemson. Raz would fall into the legend category, by the way.
No doubt.
Mike, here's one for you. Here, in all of the things that have happened, and I'm curious, in talking to some football coaches and now starting to visit with basketball coaches occasionally, I'm hearing we've got to find – there'll be something out of this that changes what we do even when you get back to your normal schedule. What do you think you've done so far that will be kind of the norm when the normal returns in terms of getting your team ready, things like that?
Yeah, I think one of the things, you know, I've been doing this quite a long time in a number of different places, but what we really focused on was focused on being Clemson. And, you know, we try to prepare the team the best that we can, looking at our opponents' strengths and weaknesses and, you know, the scouting. But really this year we knew – because of COVID, that if you scouted a team, you may not see that same team. So we really stressed being Clemson, doing what we do, and every day in training was about getting a little bit better at something that we do. And then, you know, again, we built the team, and it built right through the tournament, and I think we played our best game on Sunday.
Mike, one thing for me before I let you go here. How many more of these ACC titles do you think you need to win to displace Clemson as a golf school?
Oh, man, I tell you what. The golf program that Coach Penley has built here, it was built long before I got here.
So that's true.
We've got a little ways to go.
That's true.
We've got a little ways to go. You know, there's a friendly internal competition, right? So football, when I got here, only had one national championship, and we had two, and Coach Penley had one. Well, football now has three. We only have two, and Coach Penley only has one. But I think all of us are looking for that next one, and we hope each of us get it this year.
Well, congratulations again. A great accomplishment. The conference is so good in soccer, men and women. It's spectacular to watch, and I try to watch as much as I can because I still don't understand the nuances of the game. But I know this, the talent level, when you watch it, you can see it, all right? I mean, it's just – unbelievable how good the players are.
No question. And we're blessed to have many talented players playing here at Clemson now. We'll play here at Clemson in the future. And so many that have gone on to play in the professional ranks. And the team that you saw on Sunday will have some of those players as well. So we're proud of what Clemson does. We're proud of the opportunity that we have here to work Clemson and look forward to the spring season and, you know, the national championship and the NCAA tournament in April and May.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Mike Noonan. Thanks, Mike.
Happy
appreciate it very much.
Guys.
Stay well.
All right, go Tigers.
You bet. Mike Noonan joining us this morning, the head coach of the champions of the ACC in men's soccer, the Clemson Tigers. It also brings to mind how many champions we've been able to crown in the ACC along the way here in the fall. Prior to Thanksgiving, we talk about Clemson on the men's soccer side, and of course we had the women's soccer event in Florida State and North Carolina, that showdown we have been looking forward to, Pac. We got that one. Field hockey, North Carolina beat Louisville in a great match. And football will be determined on the 19th. And Notre Dame and NC State won men's and women's cross country, respectively, in the fall. Now, volleyball did not name an ACC champion in the fall. Had some very good teams, but no championship determined yet in the sport of volleyball for the Atlantic Coast Conference. So
spreading
always enjoy our visits with Mike Noonan.
Yeah, no doubt. He's done a great job.
Yeah, everybody.
But spreading the wealth, though, Wes, look at those titles. NC State, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Florida State, Clemson, all grabbing some hardware in the fall. And as I just mentioned to Coach, all those championship teams will look back at what they had to go through. Just the number one play, much less have a season, much less – win a championship. And again, a tip of the hat to all the student athletes that have competed this fall. It has been quite a run, and everybody getting together in June and trying to figure out, hey, can we even play? Who knows, right? And and here we are trying to put the end of a football season, trying to get hoops started tomorrow. It's been crazy, but you know, the league's done an amazing job. It really has, an incredible job.
Sure have. We will take a time out, and when we come back, don't forget Tom Luganbill starts a big power hour today that also features Louisville head coach Chris Mack. and Syracuse women's coach Quentin Hilsman on the eve of their seasons as well. But when we come back here before 9 o'clock, we name this week's winner of Wide Receiver U. And we had a guy run off with it. We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Now remember, tomorrow, this is all we're giving you. We're giving you a 3-day work week. That doesn't happen very often around here. They're going to actually give us Thursday and Friday off. That does not happen very often. So you better get your fill, right? Tomorrow's it.
Heck, we work July 4th around here, Pack. Yeah. Remember?
I know. I mean, we never take days off. I mean, unless we forced to. Pushed off the ledge. You're going to work. But tomorrow is it. It's it. Period.
Yeah.
Wide receiver U. What do we got?
You got a 3-day work week on both sides, don't you? You got a 3-day work week on radio,
which
right?
Which never I mean, I don't. I'm not going to know what to do myself having 2 days off. I mean, seriously, I won't know what to do with myself. But I'll figure it out.
Neither will Mrs. P. She'll want you out of the house. She'll want you doing something away from her.
Mrs. P. will do what she always does. She'll say, you and the dogs need to go downstairs in the basement and lock the door, and we'll send you some cookies, or we'll make a sandwich for you and take care of it. But you just take the boys, go down the hallway and down the steps, and we'll catch you later. We'll let you know when you can come out. It's kind of how it works.
Big Thanksgiving plans? You're gonna keep it smart and safe, right?
Thank God we still all have our parents, Amy's folks, and my folks. They're still alive and kicking. God bless them. But you know, just be careful out there, man. You know, this is not normal times. You got to be smart. So, it will be a very subdued Thanksgiving for us compared to what we've done in the past with family gatherings, but. You know, we'll try to make appearances the best you can. But everybody's stressed out. So just be careful out there.
Yeah, that's it. Stay smart, stay safe over the holiday weekend, everybody. All right, here's wide receiver U. And I want to point out something. Pack said this yesterday. A week ago, we had an unbelievable list of nearly a dozen catches, right? Smaller body of work this week, maybe not the quality or quantity, but we had a winner, and it was a runaway winner. Congratulations to DJ Turner of Pittsburgh, who captured this week's wide receiver U with nearly 51% of the vote. Coincidentally, DJ Turner's going to join us on tomorrow's show. Now, the catch is one thing. The carry into the end zone might be the rest. On a 15-catch, 184-yard day for DJ Turner.
I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to only say this once, and I'm not going to repeat it. This vote was not rigged. It's just purely coincidental that he's going to be on the show tomorrow. The fans vote, right? We count every vote. So you vote, we set him up, and then it's up to you guys, all right?
That's it.
So let it rip. So DJ Turner on the show tomorrow. As you mentioned, 15 catches. Virginia Tech still can't figure out where he is. Number 7, wide open in blue. He was unbelievable. I mean, when you think that, you know, Jordan Addison's not going, and you're like, okay, all right, who's Kenny going to throw to today? Well, how about this number 7 dude over here? 15 of them. Yep. Crazy day. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Look forward to talking to him tomorrow. He's got an interesting story involving the August cancellation of the Big Ten and how it ends up that he is able to move and play at Pittsburgh this year. So we'll look forward to our visit with DJ Turner. By the way, I thought Garrett Williams, the defensive back who had the great one-handed interception against Louisville the other night, thought he would be a stronger competitor in the 4 finalists of wide receiver U. He edged Tutu Atwell of Louisville and Emeka Emezi of NC State, finished 4th.
Wes, a lot of times
– It is our hope.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but a lot of times in this vote, I don't ever want to know who wins. That's why I don't even look at any preconceived notes. I just like to know on the fly when we do these things. But I am always interested to see how that plays out, because what I think the vote's going to be seldom is right. Seldom is right. I mean, I'll sit there and go, man, that right there is the catch of the week. That kid doesn't win this week. Something's wrong. Shoot. I can't tell. In fact, very seldom do I get one right, what I think the vote's going to be. And I would have been wrong again with that one.
Yep. Can't guarantee it, but hoping that we produce a wide receiver U special for you, maybe around the holidays, Pack. Never know, right?
Are you just giving more work to the folks in Bristol?
Yeah, they're all the weekly winners.
Wait, are you just creating this on the fly to give more work for the folks in Bristol while you sit there on the couch and cavalcade on another turkey sandwich? Is that what you're doing here?
No, sir. We got plenty of time. We got a lot of football left to go, Pack. A lot of football left to go.
Yeah, but you're not doing any of the work.
We'll take the weekly winners.
Yeah, but you're not doing any of the work. I mean, you just...
Well, I think we probably got a lot of this stuff filed. It won't be that difficult.
Wait a minute. Why don't you ask the Lumberjack? I mean, the smart people of the show are up there in Bristol. They're the ones that have to put all this together. You just come up with an idea and then put your feet up and get ready to get whisked away to do another broadcast. I mean, you need to ask the Lumberjacks, you think, if that's possible.
Mr. Macri, Mr. Brooks, is a wide receiver U holiday extravaganza possible?
We'll think about it.
See, that's a good answer. You know, they got work. I mean, you're asking the people who do all the work to do more. We do no work. We just show up. I mean, you roll out of bed, grab a cup of coffee or whatever Vicky hands you, and I come stumbling down the steps with the hounds. And the men and women behind the scenes who are the real professionals, they do all the work. So you can't just say, "Yeah, we ought to have a holiday special," then go have another sip of coffee. You gotta play it with those folks. You gotta say, "Hey, Jen, Lumberjacks,
the
crew, Hank, back row, Lewis, Izzy, and Radio. You think we can pull this off?" I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. By the way, what a special treat for us today to welcome Jen Milkovich back to this show, Pack.
Huh? Always.
What a special treat that is.
Again, another true professional, smart person. All the professionals are in Bristol.
On
Have you
loan,
noticed that? The real pros.
On loan.
Wes, the real pros at ESPN. I mean, the real pros, the people who are employed by ESPN, they're in Bristol. Have you noticed that? All the rest of us, little satellite characters, you know, they just kind of like, you know, pat us on the head and, you know, you guys go out and do whatever. But the real talented, smart people are in Bristol.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
All right. Yeah, no doubt. It's good to have Jen. She's on loan from other more popular and established programs. We welcome her back to Packer and Durham today. Yeah. One day only appearance. It's like, it's like Diana Ross at Central Park. It only happens once. So there we go. And then she's off to the regular tour stops. ACC football players of the week. Very quickly, the quarterback of the week, no surprise, Kenny Pickett. Bam Knight, who was the star on the ground for NC State, is the running back of the week. DJ Turner, who we've already mentioned, is the wide receiver of the week. You see Bryce Hargrove, offensive line. Daniel Joseph, the defensive end for the Wolfpack, played great. Isaiah Moore, of course, a big factor in the Wolfpack victory. Keetrell Clark of Louisville. Damar Hamlin, the safety at Pitt, and then you had Alex Kessman, the field goal kicker of the Panthers. Aiden White, by the way, the rookie of the week. All those in the ACC football order announced yesterday by the league. All right, Power Hour, and it's a full one. Chris Mack at 9:15, Quentin Hillsman at 9:30. But come on now. We start the Power Hour with the Blue Ostrich. Tom Luganville joins us live from his palatial estate in Weddington. To talk about Clemson's return this week and Notre Dame and North Carolina Friday afternoon in Chapel Hill. Lugs is next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.